Recordings are started.
Okay. Thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on the 25th of May, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken in the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And I do have Xavier Calvez noted. Okay, hearing no more names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it back over to Ching. Please begin.
Thank you, Julie, very much. Thanks, everybody, for joining the call. So this is Ching Chao once again. I'm helping out to chair this meeting while we're waiting for Erica to join. I understand that she's in the neighborhood that may have some interesting event happening. But I'm pretty sure that okay, so you're here. So Erica, could you maybe you can just simply take over? That's right.
Hi, Ching. I'm not sure, everybody, if you can hear me, and connection might be very difficult. We have immense issues on the internet, and so be not surprised if it's getting disrupted. Trump is here, and the Belgians sometimes tend to over-respond sometimes on internet issue and telephone issue when they're afraid about certain security issues. So just be not surprised. But wonderful that so many are joining and so many from Europe as well, because some of you might not know, but it's a holiday in some countries today. So wonderful to see so many on the call. Ching, thank you so much. So let's move to the – just give me a quick sign to tell me if you hear me. I see some of you are saying on the chat that you can understand me. Okay. Perfect. Then let's move to the next item, which is the input received on letter to chartering organization concerning our work plan and the approach for dealing with the charter questions. Marika, would you like to give us a quick input where we are? Marika, can you hear me?
Sure. Yes, this is Marika. It just takes me a second to get off mute. I'm here. And if I can also mention that...
Sure you hear me.
Yes. To note that in relation to the response we've sent to the board, that letter has been sent and is posted now under our correspondence page on the wiki. So in relation to this letter, as we discussed...
Marika, give me a second. Because you mentioned this, the letter which we sent to the board, we received already a quick reply from Steve, just confirming that he received the letter, and I'm pretty sure if something is going to be something they want to comment on, they will come back to us. That's it. Marika, sorry for disrupting you. Please continue.
No problem at all. In relation to the letter that we're discussing now, and you'll see the latest version on the screen, and thank you very much for Manal for submitting some comments on that. As you may recall, on the last meeting, we discussed that it may be helpful to reach out to the chartering organizations and give them an update on where things stand, especially since the CCWG has now adopted its work plan as well as the approach for dealing with the charter questions. So to that end, we drafted a letter that you see up on the screen that is kind of conveying the work plan, providing a bit of explanation of the different steps that are included, as well as the target that the CCWG has set itself at this stage for delivering an initial report. And then in the annex, it includes the actual work plan, as well as the mind map that maps out the approach for dealing with the charter questions. Manal submitted earlier today some edits that, at least from my perspective, helped to clarify some of the points made in the letter. Manal, I did respond to one of the questions you had, so I'm hoping to hear from you whether that satisfies your question or whether you think further changes need to be made to the letter. But indeed, if there are no further questions or comments, the idea would be that staff would basically send this on behalf of the co-chairs to the different chartering organizations so they have this information and, of course, are in a position as well to contact us back if should there be any questions or clarifications needed. And, of course, the hope is as well that all the chartering organizations appointed members are also available to provide any clarifications or further information that chartering organizations may require.
Thank you, Marika. I'm looking. Nobody wants to raise a point. Manal, would you love to make an additional comment to what you said?
Thank you, Erica. Yeah, just to clarify the reason for the edits. First of all, we said that we have broken down the deliberation into six phases, and we keep referencing initial responses. And I just felt that a first-time reader will not understand where the responses to the questions come from. So I just inserted in the introductory paragraph something to that effect, stating that the questions which were recently adopted by the CCWG and to which initial responses were gathered from CCWG members, so that when we later on reference initial responses, people understand where do these come from. On the first bullet, I just proposed a few edits, and again, I fully understand everything in the letter is a copy and a paste from the diagram that we have already agreed to. But again, as I said, I felt a first-time reader might not have the same background information that we have, so it's merely to make things a little bit clearer. And finally, on bullet number two, it reads, address any charter questions that have been identified requiring a response before commencing the next phase. And I understand that we probably need to end all before commencing the next phase, but probably that we here mean that questions that haven't been responded to in the initial run-through, and this was a question, in fact. I was not sure if my understanding was accurate or not. I leave it at this, and Marika, if you can help me with number two, would be very... Thank you.
You mean number two to read it? That's what you are asking, Manal? I think your comments are very clear. They clarify and make it easier to understand. So what you edit is here, I don't know if you can see it. So the original will address any charter question, and you add then that have been defined requiring a response, so you clarify and make the reference just much more clearer if I understand it. Or do you make a comment on the right side? Yeah. You raise a question practically here. So just maybe you explain again. You just asked me what, I'm not sure what you actually asked me about point two. Do you want to read it or do you want my comment to it?
So reading it to me sounds as if there are questions need to be responded to before starting the following phase and questions that not that do not need to be responded to before going to the following phase, which I don't think this is what we wanted to say. I thought maybe we wanted to say that this part should address questions that are still not addressed through phase one, the initial run through. Not sure I made myself clear. Maybe I can try again. So,
Erica, if I may respond.
Yeah, of course, Marika.
Yeah, because this is Marika. Manal, I actually sent a response to your question via the mailing list, but as it probably just came before the call, you may not have had a chance to review that yet. But basically, I know that there, that is at least the approach that we're following, is that there was a recognition from the group that there may be certain questions that do need a response, whether it's a preliminary agreement or the tentative consensus of the group, before we can actually look at some of the mechanisms that may be suitable. For example, I think one of the questions that was identified that probably needs a response is, for example, the overall objective of fund allocation, what is within scope and what is considered without scope. I think another question that was identified that probably needs a response, or at least will have a determining effect on which mechanisms to explore, is the question on whether ICANN should be responsible for receiving and evaluating applications. Now, the answer to that will, of course, determine what kind of mechanism you may need to look at. So that is what that point aims to address. While there are other questions that probably can only be answered once the group has made a determination, or at least has indicated or identified mechanisms that it wants to explore further. For example, the question of overhead. Looking at different models will help the group answer or provide an answer to that question. So that is what that specific point two aims to explain. And if that's not clear, we probably need to have another look at that to see how we can make that further clear. And maybe this notion of gating questions, which I think we've used in the past, where it's clear that an answer to that question will actually determine which of the mechanisms may be most suitable. That is a bit the idea behind those questions that need to be addressed before we can actually move into the next phase, which is kind of mapping out the different mechanisms and then trying to determine which of those have the most potential based on that initial response to those questions that were identified as gating questions. Does that make more sense?
Marika, Erika on the call. Marika, I have one point, because I think Manal is right in the way she asked the question. Because I think we have to consider that those people we will send it to, they not automatically will have the full context of what we discussed and debated. So all the phrases and framing we do in these questions, like charter questions or even gating questions, might not automatically be something familiar for them. So we might have to say after the first paragraph, before we come to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we might have to say a charter question we define as the following. And maybe we have to explain the process as well. So the charter question be defined as a process which is set up before we will come to defining the process in itself, or something like this. So that people who are reading it really can understand it. I think she points out to something right, which we sometimes too quick in assuming that everybody understands what we are talking about. So we just add something below the first paragraph, and then I think the other questions will become automatically more easier to understand. To be understood. Does it make sense? Have I lost you all?
Oh, actually, I have my hand up. Can I speak? This is Manal.
Sure, go ahead, Manal.
Okay. So thank you, Marika, for the response. Actually, I'm sorry I missed your email. And Erica, yeah, exactly, you made my point. This is what I wanted to say. Actually, I had a first reading and I felt that the letter is just perfect. But then on a second reading, I started recognizing that not everyone we will send them the letter would understand the same understanding. And having said that, let me suggest something for two and just check if this is accurate in light of what Marika said. So maybe if we say address any chart questions that have been identified requiring further detailed response before commencing the next phase, investigating possible mechanisms, for example. Thank you.
I don't see further. I don't see anybody wanting to comment on this point. I think, Marika, we are clear. So we, if everybody agrees, we will just add a clarification below the first paragraph before we start with the bullet points, and then I'm fine with what Manal just said. I think it adds it clarifies the point point two. Marika, are you okay with this?
Yeah, this is Marika. Yep, works for me.
Okay, wonderful. Anybody else? What a timetable for this. When are we planning to send this out? Have we defined this already?
This is Marika. There's no firm timeline, but I'm guessing the sooner the better, because that will also allow charting organizations to review this well ahead of the Joburg meeting. So should they have any comments or questions, or if there's a need to engage with either the members or the leadership team, they have an ability to do that in advance. So my suggestion would be that I'll go ahead after this meeting to make those updates as discussed and send that to the list, so then hopefully we can circulate it relatively shortly after the meeting.
Wonderful. So if I don't see anybody else who wants to raise a question or wants to make a comment, I assume that you feel all confident with the recommended approach. So Marika will make the changes we debated, and then we'll send it to the various groups. So I hope you feel confident with this. Okay, fine. Marika, let's move on. Let's come to to the next item on the agenda, which is the charter question four.
Yes, this is Marika. So I'm just uploading.
Second, we can see it. Yeah, up first so that we can see it. Okay, perfect. And please be so kind, give us the introduction. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So this is Marika. I think this is actually one that we already briefly covered during the last meeting, but we didn't have a whole lot of time left for discussion, so I can cover this one again. So. Charter question four reads, what aspects should be considered to define a time frame, if any, for the funds allocation mechanism to operate as well as the disbursement of funds? Example given, the time frame for the operation of this new mechanism may provide the opportunity for long-term support or for funding to be released in tranches linked to milestone achievements, single or multiple disbursements. And there were a number of comments that were submitted in this regard. First comment notes that maybe a similar model as what is being used in the context of the European Commission framework program could be used. So that would be an overall strategic plan, and then within that plan there would be different calls, each of which would have a certain given focus, as well as a certain amount of funding available over a certain period of time. I noted, I think, as well during the last meeting, some also took this as focusing on not only on the the length or duration of calls, but also the overall mechanism. So the second comment goes more towards the fact that this is a single event, one-time fund. So there should be a period at which point the structure sunsets. So that should inform the setup and as well the rules for disbursement and productively simplifies both. And I think actually these were some of the comments that were also received on the mailing list, not necessarily in the Google Doc, but this was a conversation we had very early on. Another comment that was made in response to that was noting that even though this is indeed a one-off or one-time event, there may be other rounds, that there may be auctions, and as such, there may be additional proceeds that would be earmarked. And the person is, I think, basically saying that even it shouldn't be the focus of the work that this CCWG is doing. It shouldn't either prevent, should there be anything in the future, that mechanism to be applicable again, to not have to redo the work and start all over again. Another person notes as well, if the funds were to be allocated through partnerships that support the three communities across ICANN, then having a medium long-term perspective should be desirable. So there's a certain number of time that would be needed to make sure that it has the impact that is desired. And it says to plan for a minimum of 10 years, as that should allow for the opportunity for the dust of the current political and economical challenges to settle and properly address questions about stability. Another person suggested that there should be three separate calls dividing the amount of money in three groups, as called out in ICANN's mission, so names, numbers, and protocols slash standards. Someone also pointed out it's important to realize that granting money to the right projects could be a very time-consuming effort, since this is not only granting money, but also selecting projects and monitoring milestones and results. So here, this person is suggesting that as a result, grants should be limited to certain amounts. And as well, if you then divide that up, you have quite a number of applications that could be run as well over a certain time frame. So that this calculation provides for 25 organizations, 5 years to subgrant the whole fund. And the person argues as well that this is one of the reasons to not have the complete auction proceeds dispersed to just one new central ICANN organization. Then in relation to some of the other questions we identified in the template, is this in which order should this question be dealt with? The observation here has been made that this question, I think, as part of the original survey, was flagged as a potential gating question that, noting that it should be addressed early on, as it will likely determine the response to some of the other charter questions, as well as determine which mechanism may be the most suitable. So that's all I have on this one.
Thanks, Marika. I mean, this is the, I wonder how we want to deal with this question, because it's very difficult, I think, to discuss the various scenarios which are potentially possible without having a clear idea how we want to structure the funding environment. It's a little bit tricky not to have these two connected to each other. So my personal question would be if we could consider to postpone this question until we had the exchange with the experts. We have this today. We want to come back to this point and want to discuss this point under point 7. You remember that we debated that we will invite experts for discussion concerning the models they have selected for their particular funds or foundation or whatever they have preferred for their particular funding environment. So my question is it's more a general one. Is it really helpful to debate this question right now, or shall we come back to it when we have a better understanding how other organizations which are similar in nature or which have a similar public purpose environment are dealing with such kind of fund? I see Ching. Ching, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Erica. I would just simply like to echo what you have just said. And also maybe just to add one point is to keep in mind that we've talked about the administrative costs for the fund. And if we have, let's say, a particular percentage that we've been discussing, if let's put that kind of thoughts here, is that are we comfortable of giving away or distribute, let's say, 10% of the fund each year, and we will run this for, you know, a number of years? So I guess we're also talking about a kind of a percentage-wise, something that it is, you know, it's reasonable in terms of running a nonprofit, and also in terms of kind of in the commercial sense of the run rate of the how this fund would be utilized. So I'd just like to make one point here. Thank you.
Okay, so are you, we have the discussion about the question how much money shall be allocated to the administrative costs shall be allocated to this prospect, how we define the specific fundament. We can add this here again just as a reference, maybe, Ching, if this is what you are recommending, without being precise, because if I remember this right, we already have found a language. Maybe, Marika, you can remind us what the language is which we had already agreed on about the administrative cost. And we made this in the, I think we even made a reference, if I'm not mistaken, in the letter to the board. Can you remind us, please?
Yeah, this is Marika, and I think it's actually one that, that is coming up in our call today, if I'm not mistaken. But it actually, I'm trying to think what we wrote. I think we wrote something along the lines that it's definitely an issue that needs further consideration, that, you know, we'll take all the different viewpoints on board. But, you know, obviously it also depends on the you know, mechanism chosen, what will be needed and what will be appropriate. And I just checked, it's actually Charter Question 8, so we even may get to that conversation later in this meeting.
Okay, great. Because if I remember, I was trying to find a board letter, but I couldn't find it quickly enough. We kept it quite vague, if I'm correct, and you confirm what I was sensing. So, okay, nobody else who wants to comment? We get confirmation in the chat room to come back to this question at a later point. I see comments here from many colleagues. Nobody is recommending that we have to deal with it right now. No. Okay. So, Marika, we come back to this point again. Thank you so much as well for quoting the response to the board. Okay. So, let's move on then to the next chartering question, and we come back to this particular one after we had the, in particular, after we had the exchange with the external experts. Thank you so much, everybody. Marika, back to you again. Marika, can you hear us?
Yes, thanks, Erica. I'm here. Starter question six, template is up on the screen, reads, should any priority or preference be given to organizations from developing economies, projects implemented in such regions and or underrepresented groups? And here again, we've got a number of responses or input in response to the Google Doc that's still available for anyone interested. And in red line, you see as well some of the input that was received just before the call today. So first respondent notes it's an important criteria, but beyond the organization's location, we should look at the beneficiaries. Global organizations typically have programs in developing countries and for minorities, and funds can be earmarked within them. And another person knows it depends. The fund shouldn't be restricted only for organizations from developing economies, projects implemented in such regions and or underrepresented groups, but they should be given the support to have an equal footing to participate at the stage where the proposals are developed. provide localized guidelines, application forms, make wide promotion of the opportunity is key. So if during an application process only proposals from developed countries are received, then a strong effort to get proposals from developing countries should be done. A lot of the key infrastructure that might benefit from applying to some of these funds is located in developed countries that are currently facing a lot of uncertainty and instability that might affect them if their funding comes from government agencies. Proposals should be judged based on merit alone, not from where they come. Institutional capacity might vary, but it offers an opportunity to provide support to strengthen organizations in less developed countries. It depends on the purpose. And someone notes, it's relevant. A developing economy are the ones not contributing much to the ICANN income, and this is due to the lack of knowledge limitations of resellers, as a survey in the LAC region has showed. And someone noted as well, subgranting organizations with sufficient capability and track record should be used by ICANN wherever they are located. Then project proposals can be issued to these subgranting organizations, again, from issuers wherever they are located. And then the comment that was received just prior to this meeting, if we read the introduction of the ICANN strategic plan for the fiscal year 2016-2020, we find the mention of global inclusivity and its importance to ICANN stakeholders worldwide for ICANN to fulfill its mission. In the vision statement, there's also mention of cooperation among stakeholders worldwide to facilitate ICANN coordination role, and the first strategic objective states evolve and further globalize ICANN. To that end, I believe that priority should be given to underrepresented communities and developing economies underrepresented in the stakeholder community. And I think if we can analyze a little bit the responses, it seems that people have approached this from two different perspectives. I think on the one hand, looking at, does this question deal with those that are applying for the funds or for the target audience of those projects? So again, and I didn't list it here yet, but it may be one of the sub-questions that the group may need to deal with, that it may need to look at those both aspects, both from who can apply as well as priorities. And again, I think a linking here then maybe with the overall objective of the fund allocation, that to a certain extent may also determine whether priority or preference needs to be given, linked with what is identified as the overall objective, again, linked closely to ICANN's mission. So maybe those are two points that at least should be added to the template if others agree.
Thank you, Marika. Erika Mann on the call. No, I agree with you. I think it would be good to have these as sub-questions. And then maybe the main question is, which we maybe want to spend some time today as you have a first exchange about, would be whether we would want to earmark a certain percentage or a certain amount either for participants in developing countries or for projects which will be executed in developing countries, or if you just want to have applications pending on the on practically on the way they are regarded as the number one or the number two, and then the money will be granted to them independent from the region they are coming from or the place they are. I would like that we spend at least a certain amount of time to discuss this, because I know from other in funding environments how difficult this sometimes is, and it would be good maybe to get a first understanding of what we prefer, or if there's a kind of common understanding between us what we would want to recommend as a group. Anybody has some ideas and would love to say something? Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I would not want to see anything reserved at this point. I don't think we have a good understanding of the kinds of projects we're going to see, and I don't think we will until we actually invite proposals. Moreover, there's a lot of, we're strongly limited by the mission of ICANN. But even if you look within the mission, the couple of things that we talk about today a lot are universal acceptance and IDN usage and things like that. And those apply in many developed countries as well. So it's not at all clear where our focus should be. I'm happy with the laundry list we have here. It captures a lot of the ideas. If you look in a different part of ICANN at the fellowship, it took us a lot of years to realize that there are underdeveloped regions within developed countries. And finally, the fellowship will now accept people from developed countries if they are underrepresented. And I think we have to keep that in mind here, and I don't think we want to make any decisions at this point that would restrict innovative use of these funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Ching, would you like to comment? Or did you put down your hand?
Yeah, that's right. So Alan pretty much cover what I want to say. So thank you.
Elliot, is this a hand? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Can you hear me okay now?
Yep.
There's two points I would like to make that I think are worth calling out explicitly here. And when I say that here, I mean sort of in our formal response or public writings about this charter question. The first is, without a doubt, I think it's very important that we're focused on beneficiaries as opposed to organizations. I think one of the things that would break my heart with this opportunity that we have, which again is unique in time and space, is if we simply dispersed to a number of large organizations who, while I'm sure do work, do good work, have probably very high expense ratios. And when I say high, north of 10, 20, 30, even 40%, some, of course, are up to 60 and 70%. That would be just disheartening for me. So I think we should have a focus on beneficiaries. And in terms of regions, I'm very comfortable with what Alan said around not being proscriptive in any way. But I do think, we should be clear. These funds are, just with an explicit statement, these funds are being used to help people in need, people who are disadvantaged, people who are underprivileged, whatever language we would like to use there, so that we do constrain the use of the funds to those who could most benefit. And I think that then, anything else can be a guideline around that. But those two principles are very important to bake into the heart of what we do.
That's an interesting point you raise, Alan. You practically recommend to have a kind of guideline or something, explanatory statement, which gives more clarity to the purpose of the whoever will receive the will be able to request the fund. So I'm at this stage much more. I think I like Alan's approach, which is a bit more neutral at this stage, and keeps all options practically open, and is less purposefully clarifying even the purpose, if I understood Alan right, besides what we already have highlighted. And Nadia, would you want to say something? I saw your hand popping up, and then it's gone again. I'm not sure if it's a fault on my system that the hands pop up and then they're taken down again, or if you purposefully took your hand down. Nadia? Okay. My just system failure, which I have in my system today. So, how would you want to take this forward? Can we agree with an approach which allows us any time to come back to it, even if we have a clearer understanding about the timetable and the funding environment? So we would practically, to some degree, postpone the debate as well and keep it as open as possible at this time with the definition which we already have clarified and which we have put forward on this in this document, which is called initial response. Are we confident with this? Elliot is saying that he sees nothing limiting there. Becky, you make a long comment. Why don't you talk about it and I don't have to read it? Becky,
okay,
can
I
you
was
talk?
Saying, yes, I can talk. I was just saying that I think, you know, in this light, we're talking about, you know, the use of the funds has to be within ICANN's mission and ICANN's core values require us to make sure that participation reflects the functional, geographical, and cultural diversity of the Internet. I'm just trying to read the bylaws provision. At all levels of policy development and decision-making to ensure the bottom-up multi-stakeholder policy development process is used to ascertain the global public interest. And so I think that that sort of that just citing to that core value helps us keep the conversation open and focus on that issue in a non-prescriptive way at this point.
I would say we will have all the comments again in our notes, so we will have to come back to them at a later stage again, because I'm just reading what Stephanie is writing and Elliot. I think you're right, Becky and Alan. I think this the objectives which is guiding practically this work, which is the mission statement, and then the to some degree the principles which we already have defined and the principles as they are defined in the bylaws. But nonetheless, we are able, of course, based on the principles and based on the on the mission statement, we cannot go, of course, go a step further and can make a further clarification or frame it, the language, in a different way. So I would recommend that we don't, that we come back to this again, similar to what we debated before, once we had the discussion with the external expert, because I think this might help us as well, because I'm pretty sure that many of them had similar issues and similar difficulties when they defined their foundation or their funds. I would be surprised if we will not hear from many experts similar difficulties they experienced. In the meantime, I see Alan and Hadia raising their hands. Alan, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you. Asha has asked to explicitly answer the question, do we want to see words saying should we set priorities or preferences? And my answer is at this point is no. I am fine saying we have a preference to using the money most effectively, but to identify preferences and priorities in recipient groups or the exact use of the funds, I think too prescriptive at this point. I don't think we understand. I think we may end up having problems because of the restricted mission finding good uses. We're talking about a lot of money here, and I would not want to have to turn down good projects that will benefit people and benefit the Internet because we set some rules here. So I'm looking for good use of the money. That's a very nonspecific description, and I would not want to see types of projects or types of economies or classes of people favored at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Hadia, please. Hadia, are you talking and you're on mute? Okay, this seems to be not working. Can someone maybe... Okay, it looks like we have a problem here. So how do we deal with this right now? I think it makes no sense to continue to debate. I think we have an understanding. So what I would recommend, because I'm convinced we will have to open this discussion again, and I don't think it helps us to go deeper at this stage right now. So Ellen is saying practically no. Beyond the mission statement and the principles which are guiding us, no further narrowing down of any for any particular group. And Elliot is making a more, if I understand you right, Elliot is making the point that it might be helpful to add some preferences of for certain locations or for certain certain projects or for certain groups. So I would, Elliot, I see you up again. I come back to you in a second. So my point is not to deepen the debate right now, because I think we will have to come back to it once we have a better understanding about the other chartering questions we have to discuss, and after we have spoken to the experts, and then we will have to come back to this discussion. I think we understood the differences, but we will have to come back to it. Let me try again, Hadia, if there's a chance. Can you hear us? Can you talk now?
Hadia's line is unmuted at this time, so if she is speaking, there must be something wrong with her connection.
Okay. Okay, thank you for letting us know. Can you check maybe again why it's not working?
Yes.
Elliot, please go ahead.
Sorry. Erica, I would not describe, I think that the language you used was misdescriptive. I am identifying two things that we are focused on: beneficiaries, not organizations. That's the lesson point, but I think an important point, and I'd be comfortable deferring that one. But the other point should not be limited. You know, this money is to be used for those in need. I give a very specific example of what I do think we can preclude at this point. And I don't find that limiting in any way. I think it's putting soul into what we're doing, and it's identifying the proper purpose for what we're doing, and it's overarching. Erica, I don't want, that we're all going, this is going to be a big body of hard work, and I think that, it's a mistake to sort of kick the can down the road every time that we're bumping into something. I think this is what I'm putting forward here is very simple. And I would suggest taking a pulse of the room. But again, all I'm talking about is a clear statement that this money will be used for those in need. We can wordsmith what that means. And Becky, you did try and get there in an inferential way through two elements of the ICANN sort of charter. This is consistent with mission, and here's the mission. I get that, but let's be explicit about this. Why not just do what puts the right principles into this? And I don't see that as favoring particular groups, unless you're saying that it's favoring those who need the help over those that don't. I'm very comfortable with that. If you see that as favoring, but it's not about a region or a type or any limitation like that. So I just want to be clear that I think it's overarching. I think it injects a very important point into all of this, and it makes our work. It gives our work a North Star in a very positive way.
Yeah, I see your point, Elliot, and I don't want to kick the debate down the road. Just my personal experience that sometimes things shape out easier with such, more later in the definition phase. But I'm fine with both ways, and we can take a pulse. But let me go to, I see Ching, Alan, and Asha. Ching, please.
Thank you, Erica. This is Ching speaking. I think, just Michael, a very quick yes. I think we all agree on, we could agree on one thing is that the fund should, we should make the fund more easily accessible by those who, from the developing countries or regions or other underrepresented groups. I think the point we're trying to make, I mean, definitely one thing is a need base, but I think the mechanism that is being designed in the future is that the fund should be more easily accessible by those from the region. I mean, given those places may not have the opportunity, so I mean resources like this. So I think that we should probably blend in something when we talk about the mechanism itself. So I think just like to make that point here. Thank you.
There you come. Thank you so much, Ching. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I would not support saying we are looking only to give money to disadvantaged economies and disadvantaged people. I look at something like DNSSEC, clearly within ICANN's mandate and scope, an area where there may well be innovative projects and use of the money that could benefit the Internet and benefit the world we're living in. I look at ICANN has just hired a director of consumer safeguards. We're now talking about tools that look at phishing and other abuse of the DNS. So our world, our view of what is within scope, is varying, and there's a lot of ugly things going on the Internet, and maybe some of this money can be used to address some of that. And that does not necessarily say it's focused on just disadvantaged economies and disadvantaged people and poor people. We may find some really good stuff to do. I would strongly support that we don't give money to projects that can be readily funded commercially and from other sources, but that's different from saying who the beneficiary is going to be. So I believe we want to keep this open and not restrict it at this point in ways that might hamper how we use the money for good things. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. This is Erica. Asha, please.
Thank you, Erica. This is Asha Hemrajani. So I couldn't speak earlier, because my child was still up, so I can speak now. And I put that text message, and I kind of stirred the pot. So I just wanted to explain what I meant. From my personal perspective, I had an issue with the text. Should any priority or preference be given to organization from XXX, and whatever XXX may be? I had an issue with that about giving priority or preference to any one particular group, because my concern was that if we start defining at such an early stage these particular groups, then we are going to be restrictive. So in that respect, and thank you, Alan, for articulating my question, and I think you understood my point completely, and I agree with what you said about not being restrictive. I also agree with what Elliot said, but I have an issue, not an issue, but I'm concerned about how we define what it means to be in need. So, and that also is in line with what Alan just mentioned, which is it may not be disadvantaged countries or disadvantaged economies that are in need. There could be an organization in need which is right underneath our own noses. So I would, from my personal perspective, not speaking on behalf of the board, I would try to make this not restrictive, as unrestrictive as possible at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Asha. There's another comment from Jonathan. Jonathan, would you want to talk about it? Because I think it's a point which was raised by Steve and by some others as well. Would you like to explain it?
I can comment on that. As you saw from my comment, as you can probably see from my comment in the line below, I'm thinking about either core critical infrastructure that may not be as well funded as we think it is. I've just given one example as route service, and that needn't necessarily be, that could be on both levels. It could be both on an R&D level. In other words, there's a longer term development requirement for some capabilities, so some kind of security or stability issue, or it could be a shorter term operational capacity issue. And really, but essentially a core security, stability and resilience requirement that may not be obviously attractive to commercial or market-based funding. That's one. Of course, there's the other issue, which I don't think is specifically covered here, but it is a point that is ultimately a sort of elephant in the room, which is whether whether ICANN or any portion of ICANN will ultimately be able to apply for funding. And I'm not sure that's covered here, but I think for the moment I'd rather stick to the key point I made in the text above, which is this point about keeping an open mind to core specialist infrastructure. You know, it consistent with ICANN's mission, as we've said before, but core infrastructure projects. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. Asha, is this a new hand or is it your old hand?
Sorry, it's an old hand.
Okay. Manal, please.
Thank you, Erica. I agree with everyone who said that it's too early and we should leave all the options and all the doors open and keep an open mind. It has to be an innovative idea, creative idea, useful idea, whatever we can call this, and that it needs the funding or otherwise it won't be able to proceed. I know it's hard to assess this, but I think it's ABC that we will need to make sure, or whoever is evaluating the project will need to make sure that the project really needs the funding. Irrespective of wherever this project originates or come from. And as very eloquently described by other colleagues, it may be an organization that needs the funding to do a project or even a startup in a developed country, so not necessarily from a developing region. And in fact, the idea itself or the project itself may be useful and beneficial to developing countries. So no one can tell now how things would go. So it all depends on whatever is going to be submitted. So I leave it at this. Thank you.
Okay, I think we should probably conclude this and come to the next question. So the chartering question here was, should any priority or preference be given to organizations from developing economy projects implemented in such regions and or represented groups? When I looked at the comments made from Elliot after we discussed it, if I did not understood you wrong again, Elliot, you didn't say it has to be priority given to developing countries or to project in developing countries. So this then leaves us with the principal idea to have practically two concepts. So one concept at this stage, not to define, wait and see until when comes up, what comes in on projects. We are defined by the chartering question and by the mission statement, by the principles, the way they are defined anyhow, which captures to some degree the spirit which Becky tried to capture in her sentence, and we can look at this again. Maybe, Marika, it would be good for you and for us together to review, not now, but for the preparation for the next call, to review all the comments which we have seen, and then to frame the context of this particular chartering questions maybe better, and then come back to it again. I wouldn't want to finalize it today in an either-or, because my feeling is we probably look at it from the same angle, and we have the same goal. We just think about it in different terms, how we would want to frame it. But I might be wrong. And then we have received additional comments which go beyond this particular chartering question, and I think they're super important. So if you look at core critical infrastructure issues, new development and innovation, and so I want to come back to you, Alice. Would you want us to take the pulse and just see where we are, or would you, I see you, you raise your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the one thing, that, you know, this might be helpful in terms of what I'm going for with this. So. Let me describe a couple things I would hate to see. I would hate to see law enforcement wanting to be funded for cybercrime. I would hate to see the GAC want to be funded for additional secretariat. And apologies to all GAC members involved. I just think this is the wrong pot. And I'm not opposed potentially to some of those things coming out of the ICANN budget. But not this pot. This is a unique, one-time opportunity to do some great things. And, in my construct, those in need or something like that, I don't think you preclude a research project. That research project, though, will be helping those in need, not creating a platform for further business development. Remember where I'm coming from here. You know, I'm a businessman in the developed world. And I think this is just a unique opportunity to do something. And the more, I don't think I'm limiting us, virtually in any way. And what I am doing is I'm going to significantly, hopefully, or what my hope would be that we as a group are doing, is taking down some of the noise we are inevitably going to have to deal with in this ICANN community, as we all know, because we all live inside it. And so, Erica, I just think, at a very simple level, we don't have to decide it now, but I think there is real value in taking a pulse of the room.
Okay, I'm fine with this. I'm just a little bit worried of taking a pulse, because I don't see us actually the two groups that far apart. I think what you are talking about in need, it's probably the greater good, which you think shall be supported and the money shall not flood into all kind of micro tiny projects which are not serving this particular purpose and goal. Ellen, please. I'm happy we can take the pulse. Ellen, please.
Thank you very much. Let me look at Elliot's two examples. Funding a GAC secretariat, I would tend to agree. Now, that's something which is really operational funding of ICANN, and I do not believe that we should be funding operational funding of ICANN. That doesn't mean the GAC might not have an innovative project, but it shouldn't be the operational part of supporting what we do in ICANN as our core business, as it were. On the other hand, if someone comes up with an interesting proposal regarding cybercrime, and maybe it's a study, maybe it's a test bed, maybe it's a something, I would not be adverse to that. Now, do I want to fund law enforcement? Probably not, because that essentially says funding governments, and that's likely to be something that we're not going to want to do explicitly. On the other hand, there may well be things related to that fall completely within our remit. As I've said before, some of these things are going to be marvelous projects that we all support and we can't do because they're outside of our mission. And we are going to be constrained by that. But I don't think we're just going to have beneficiaries of those who are in need. We're looking for projects that are not fundable other places. But I don't think we want to restrict them to exactly who the beneficiary is or what the topic is right now. Thank you. And I will not say that again this time, this rest of this meeting.
Okay, let's take a quick pulse. But keep in mind, in taking the pulse, at least that's my idea. It's not a concluding debate pulse. I'm pretty sure we will have to come back to this topic again and again and again. So, but let's take the pulse. And so the two versions, I'm not repeating them again. I think we heard them clearly. Let me call them the Elliott proposal and the Allen proposal. Marika, we might need you to explain to us how to take the pulse. Marika, are you still with us?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm not really sure why you're asking, but what I will do is update the template with some of the...
We can do it electronically. We can do it electronically, and I'm checking the options in the moment on my side, and I can't see it. So either it needs to be edited, or we...
But I'm just going to... So, just a reminder to everyone, we're still at a preliminary phase of evaluating these options. We don't need to settle on an answer in this call. We have set time aside in our approach that if there are questions that do need to be addressed before we move in the next stage, that we further deliberate on those. But it may make sense to first add the different comments that were made before going down that route, if I may make that suggestion.
I would just do a quick one because Elliott would love to do it, and there's no reason not to do it. Just to get an understanding between us, and then you're absolutely right. We will continue to work on document, and as I said, we will have come back to this anyhow, again and again. This is not a debate which will be concluded by taking the pulse, how Elliott is calling it. So how do we do it if we have two options and we can agree, disagree, or step away? These are the three options we have. So we probably have to take either Ellen's version first and then we see automatically, or we take Elliott's version first and then we see how many are opposing to it. So let's do it like this. Are you all with me still? So let's do it. Let's try if it is working. So let's take the Elliott version first, which means we define the framework for those in need more clearer. And if you agree, click agree. If you disagree, click disagree. And if you step away, you step away. Let's see if it is working. And I have more comments coming up, more questions, but give us a second until we see the outcome. Marika, is it you who is seeing it? Is it Joker who is seeing the numbers?
This is Marika. I think everyone should see on the left-hand side the green ticks and the red ticks. I know that there are currently 1, 2, 3.
Ah, it's coming in.
Ticks.
Yep, it's delayed. It's delayed on my end. I see it now. Yep.
Erica, I think there may be some confusion over what the proposals exactly entail. So I'm wondering if it makes sense to take offline and have Alan and Elliott maybe up what they're proposing And then we could even do it in the form of a SurveyMonkey or a doodle poll on the next call, just put it up on the screen, because I'm not sure if everyone's exactly clear, and either whether the two of them are completely exclusionary, because it seems that if we're picking one over the other, it means that they're not in alignment. So.
Okay, you are worried that we might not get a clear outcome because I'm not phrasing maybe the question clear enough, which is true, it's possible. So Marika's idea is we don't do it right now, but the two of you, Alan and Elliot, you frame the question, send it to us, and then we do it in an online later. That's fine with you all. I see many questions popping up right now, so I don't know if you want to comment on the procedure or you want to comment on the content. Let me go again. Tripti first, please.
Oh, Eric, thank you. I was just going to say, and I think you came to the conclusion that I was coming to, which is I could not understand the purpose of taking the pulse because the two issues needed to be clearly stated, and clearly we were not going to come to resolution on this call. So I was going to suggest not taking the pulse and doing this in a different manner, and I think this deserves more discussion, a little bit more in-depth, you know, conversations, and it looks like that's the way we're headed. But I could not understand the purpose of the taking the pulse during this call. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tripti. It was just to, Elliot would have wanted to have a such kind of first pulse taking, and I was fine with it. Sometimes it just helps to clarify, to see where everybody is in a process, wasn't to conclude the debate and the discussion, just the first understanding. Ellen, are you concerned about the process as well, or do you want to make a substantial comment?
I do want to make a comment. I supported you in that I think taking the pulse is a really good thing in some of these meetings, and sometimes it can curtail roundabout discussions. However, one of the things I've learned is if you're going to ask a question, it's got to be in writing, in the chat or somewhere, because when you just speak a question, people don't quite catch it. And so the question has to be somewhere you can read it. We also have people who don't speak English as a first language. And so if we're going to do a pulse taking, it's got to be expressed in writing, either in the chat or in the note box or something. Otherwise, you end up with people answering what they think is the question, which is often the opposite of the question. So just a procedural process if and when we do this again.
Okay, you're absolutely right. And apologies to everybody. I think you're totally right. So let's do the following as Marika recommended, because I don't want to open the whole process again and we start writing now. I would love us to continue and have a look at least to the next chartering question. So what I would love to ask you, Ellen and Elliot, please send us by email the two frame the questions the way you would love them to be seen, voted on. And then what we will do, we will have an online, Marika, you recommended one which you like to work on, one online tool. You will send it then back to us and everybody then can comment on it or just simply vote. I would love to see a comment, the option included that people can comment on it as well, even if they just have the option to vote. So please just select a version, whatever you like to work with, Marika, where people can comment on as well. So Marika, I'd love to conclude this here now and like to go back to you, Marika, and let us take the next chartering question, please.
Yes, so this is Marika. I'll quickly upload. Oh, sorry. The next template, and as noted, this is one that we briefly touched upon during our earlier conversation. So this is a charter question 8. And charter question 8 reads, what aspects should be considered to determine an appropriate level of overhead that supports the principles outlined in this charter? So some of the responses that we got here, and you'll notice I captured as well the input that we received from the ICANN board on this topic. But the first commenter noted as small as possible and not based on a percentage commission of the grant dispersed, but on the real work to be performed by the agency. If the ICANN internal option is taken, then in my opinion, a few additional staff, 3 to 5 fixed costs will be needed. Another person notes clearly some benchmark would be useful. And it's also stated as almost no agency funds core expenses anymore. Percentage is a common way to charge for indirect costs. If the program was to operate without a percentage as a base, but for work done as suggested above, then a definition of what is allowed to include needs to be done. As the costs vary country by country and every organization operates under different logistics, it's difficult to be competitive in a bid if a percentage is not provided. And then specific examples are provided. And you'll note here that for some, the focus has been on the overall operation of the mechanism and the overhead, but this response specifically goes to overhead as part of projects that may be submitted. So again, that may be a dual nature to this question. And then next respondent notes, ideally there should be no new overhead incurred other than just the appropriate overhead fee, 5 to 10% for the nonprofit work in the subgranting organizations. And this is the board comment that was received. Once a system is set up for this distribution, the cost of administering the distribution of funds will naturally come out of the auction proceeds. As a point of departure, the nominal goal for the overhead is no more than 5%. And then as I noted here in the sub-questions, you know, responses appear to deal with both the overhead for the framework mechanism as well as project applications. The question, of course, is, you know, are both expected to be addressed by the CCWG as part of its deliberations? And I noted that, you know, potential external expertise required here is legal and fiduciary requirements as they may relate to this question. I may note as well that this may also be linked to the audit requirements, and just take this opportunity to note that we'll actually get a briefing on that topic from Xavier Calvez on the 15th of June, so he may also touch upon this topic as part of that presentation.
Alan, please.
Sorry, Alan? Did you call upon me? It's Alan?
Yes, please.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, please.
My name got cut out. All I heard was the please. Just the caution that in the both the question and the answers, we use the term overhead, and different meanings in different contexts. So I think we need to be a little bit careful. I think what we're talking about is the overhead in administering the program. We may also be talking about the overhead that whoever gets the grant it has in administering their part of the program. But, for instance, there's a reference there to universities charging 40%. There's companies that charge 100% overhead, and what they're talking about is the amount that they're charging over and above the salary level that the person or the hourly rate the person is getting, which will cover, you know, benefits and office space and, you know, vacations and things like that. And I don't think we're differentiating things at that level. So I think we need to be a little bit careful about what it is we're talking about and not use terms that are multiply defined in different venues. Thank you.
Erica, if you can put me in the queue, this is Xavier. Thank you.
Just go ahead, please. There's nobody else before you.
Thank you, Erica, and thank you very much, Alan, for raising that point. This is exactly one of the few topics that I will try to speak about on the 15th to define what we mean by overhead and what we don't mean by overhead, as well as what we mean by audit and what audit is not. So that your comment cues in very well what we will try to cover to exactly address your point that overhead means different things in different countries or in different languages, as well as even in the same language or in the same country, what do we put into the scope of expenses and what is overhead versus operation costs, and so on. So we will try to clarify that during the next meeting on the 15th. Thank you.
We had in the with Ching and Marika, we had a discussion about the preparation for the for this call, and during this call we discussed as well your presentation. So will you be able to clarify these points either before or after the call, which we will have with you in written, so that we can review it? Do you hear me? Xavier, are you there?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, Erica, I can work with Marika to gather the comments that have been made and offer suggested thoughts or ideas or answers to those comments in advance of the call. I just want to make sure that we can work internally with the group to produce those drafts in time, but I will work with Marika to try to do that.
And Xavier, I think for this group it would be fine even if you would could do it afterwards. So if you're not able to do it beforehand, but if you could do it afterwards, it would help us immensely, in particular the point Alan raised just a few minutes ago. But I think it's true. When you look at funding environments, how these costs are defined, either operational costs or all kinds of other costs, overhead, and there's so many other costs which relate more to the administration of a project, it would be good to get an understanding how you will see this and how the probably even the auditing and the auditors see this. So we would appreciate it if you could, if you can do it before, if you can do it after the call.
Yeah. And I definitely intended, Erica, thank you, I definitely intended to actually doing during the call to provide a description of the cost, at least for the clarity of the vocabulary, and then we can answer further comments or thoughts that would be generated during the call after that. So we can do either of that.
Okay, wonderful. Perfect. Thank you so much. Anybody else who would love to make at this stage a comment on this topic? No? Okay. Marika, do we have today 9 minutes?
This is Marika. Yeah, correct. We have 3 minutes left.
So we have 3 minutes left, and I would recommend, because we will come back to this point when we have the presentation with Xavier, I would recommend we conclude here and come to the, I think, the last item on the agenda, which I wanted us to have a quick look, because we will need all your input, which is the identification of external experts. So, Marika, if you could just show us, you showed me the list which we already do have. So what we would love you to review this list, and then please be so kind, if you have the contact details of the person you either already recommended or you would like to recommend, to send us the names and the contact details so that we can start contacting them and preparing the calls with the experts. Marika, is it possible for all you put this in already? So in the chat room, Marika just posted the links to the external expert, to the list which we already do have. So So the request is please review this list and be so kind at names and contact details if you do have them. And otherwise, feel free to add anybody else you would love to recommend. If you are able to make a quick comment why you recommend a person or a group or an association, this would be particularly helpful for us just to get this in the right order when we tie the calls with these experts. Any comment on this one? No, that's not the case. Fine. Then the next meeting we have scheduled on June 8th and for 14 UTC again. Thank you so much. All have a great day and talk to you soon. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Today's meeting is adjourned. Verizon operator King, would you please disconnect all lines and to everyone have a great day.